Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Channa Balaba Girivara Dari. Gopi Channa Balaba Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parajak Chaya. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Chaya. Jam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parajak Chaya Astro Tarasata Shishimani Shringa Guru Shili Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Anantikodi Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Iskan BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsikor Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Radha Krishna Gopikopinath Shyamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Mayapur Dham Ki Jai New Dwarka Dham Ki Jai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Shimate Subhadra Ki Jai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Gurantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Jumunamaya Gangamaya Ki Jai Tosi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Jaga Ki Jai Transcendental Prashadam Distribution Ki Jai Gora Premananda Hari Hari Bo All glories to the Sama Devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the Sama Devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the Sama Devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vidaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Veta Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Veta Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Veta Chandra Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So I picked out some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 1. And we'll talk about the later pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's 287 verses in this particular chapter, actually. And we're just going to do a meditation, kind of a summary. I'm going to read the first few verses as an introductory and obeisances. And then we're going to focus on a few incidents. And there's one verse I like. It kind of summarizes everything. It goes, from obeisances to the all-merciful lords, Gauranga, Nityananda, Radha Govinda, Gopinathaji, and Advaita Prabhu, who have arisen to dispel ignorance through their pastimes, though unable to fully describe the unlimited later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya, I humbly attempt to relate the chief incidents. So it's nice. So basically, this chapter portrays Lord Chaitanya's transcendental ecstasies in divine love and his intimate loving exchanges with his eternal associates like the six Goswamis and their invaluable literary contributions, which delineates the philosophy and sublime pastimes of Krishna Bhakti. So they're all inspired by Lord Chaitanya. So this is the first verse, which is really nice, and he's offering obeisances. So he says, Madhya 1:1. Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I'm praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy upon me. So this shows you his humility. Actually, pride is like a disease. It's like a severe fever. And you know what the cure is? Humility. And because humility opens our heart, and pride, it closes the heart. It makes it very hard. Because if you think you're the highest, right, with pride, then how are you going to go any higher? So you just, you know, you stay there. You think you're already there. You can't go on your journey. So the brahmanas, they know the truth. And the foot wash of the brahmanas awakens our thirst for higher knowledge. So if we accept the pure devotee, and that's what Lord Chaitanya did, when he went to Gaya, he had a very severe fever. And nobody could do anything about it. And then Lord Chaitanya said, just bring me the foot wash from the brahmanas. And Lord Chaitanya drank it and he was cured. So he was just showing how we have to actually take the mercy from the brahmanas because they know we have to be humble ourselves. And when Lord Chaitanya humbled himself before Ishvara Puri, that's when he was able to spread that ecstasy to everybody. I mean, he was experiencing ecstasy, but he wasn't able to spread it yet. And until that point, with Ishvara Puri, he was able to spread it. So it's nice. So there's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 17.9, it describes that. There's one verse. In Gaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishvara Puri, and immediately afterwards, he exhibited signs of love of Godhead. He again displayed such symptoms after returning home. So this is what Prabhupada talks about in the purport, about him drinking the foot wash of the Brahmins. So it's nice. So, and then Prabhupada says here, the followers of Lord Chaitanya cannot blindly accept that anyone born in a Brahmana family is a Brahmana. Therefore, one should not indiscriminately follow the Lord's example of showing respect to Brahmanas by drinking water that has washed their feet. Gradually, Brahmana families have become degraded because of the contamination of Kali Yuga. Thus, they misguide people by exploiting their sentiments. So we have to know the proper way to judge. So the next verse, Madhya 1:2, offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So this is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appeared like the sun and the moon to dissipate that darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada actually gave a lecture on this particular verse. And I'd just like to just let you listen to a little clip of Srila Prabhupada. Loud enough? Okay. Up. Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this is the verse. You want to chant it together? Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodito Gora Daye Pushpavantu Chitro Sandu Tamonudo. Okay, we'll just go to the... Let's just do the words. Vande. Offer my respectful obeisances. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. To Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Nityananda. And to Lord Nityananda. Sahaudito. Simultaneously arisen. Goda Udaye. On the eastern horizon of Goda. Pushpavanto. The sun and moon together. Chitra. Wonderful. Samdo. Bestowing benediction. Tamanudo. Dissipating darkness. So the verse again. Offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So that's nice. So as we go on to the verses that we're going down through this chapter, it talks about the Sri Madan Mohan Temple. And there's a nice verse in the Adi 115. It says, Jayatam surato pangor mama manda matirgati matsarvasya padambojo rada madana mahano. So that's, it's glorifying this. So in the third verse, glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised. Yet they are my directors and their lotus feet are everything to me. So Madan Mohan means that one who can even enchant Cupid. This is the deity. It was formerly Madan Gopal, and it was made for Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranabha. And for many years it was lost, and the Advaita Acharya discovered the original deity of Madan Mohan in Madhavan Gokul, and he served him there at the base of an old Vat tree. And before his departure to Navadvip, he entrusted the deity to a Brahmana Chobe in Mathura. And then years later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent Sanatan Goswami to Vrindavan to discover the lost places of Krishna's pastimes and write books about devotional service. And then Advaita Acharya performed his bhajan here at Advaita Vat at the base of the hill. And then Sanatan used to beg in nearby Mathura. And one day he came to the door of the Brahmana Choba, and he saw the Brahmana's children playing with the deity as if Madan Mohan was one of them. And so horrified, Sanatan chastised Choba and he taught him proper ways of deity worship. And then both Sanatan and the Brahman had a dream that night. And then Madan Mohan appeared to Sanatan and told him that he liked to be treated as one of the Brahmana's children. And since Sanatan introduced so many rules, he didn't like it anymore. So then, to the Choba Mohammedan, in the dream he told him that he is like one of his children. And he told him that he had many children, and he should give him to Sanatan. And so the next morning, both devotees wanted to apologize. But at the end, the Mohammedan went to Sanatan, and so he gave him the deity. But not before he promised to Sanatan that he would be satisfied with whatever he will be able to offer. So that's what he told the deity. Because Sanatan, being a traveling mendicant, he couldn't give much luxury to the deity. So he said, you have to be satisfied with whatever I give you. So he agreed. So he came. So this is the verse 4. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. May Gopinath, who attracts all the gopis with the song of his flute, and who had begun the most melodious rasa dance on the bank of the Jamuna in Vamsivata, be merciful upon me. So this is the first the fifth verse. So we're kind of doing a meditation here on this, getting into the nectar. And verse number 6. All glories unto Sri Gaurahari, who is an ocean of mercy. All glories unto you, the son of Sachidevi. For you are the only friend of all fallen souls. And this is Nimai with Sachi and Jagannath Mishra. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Veta Chandra Jaya Shivasari Gaur Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So that's the next verse. So I'm just going to read a few verses here in this chapter. All glories unto Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu, and all glories unto all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. I have previously described in synopsis the Adi Lila, initial pastimes, which have already been fully described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. I have therefore given only a synopsis of these incidents, and whatever specifics were to be related have already been given in that synopsis. To describe the unlimited pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not possible, but I now wish to relate the chief incidents and give a synopsis of those pastimes occurring at the end. And then there's a nice purport in the 11th canto. And, you know, they say Lord Chaitanya was a hidden incarnation. You know, so even in the scriptures, kind of hidden. But, you know, in the Mahabharat, there's a description of Lord Chaitanya, which is very interesting. And it's quoted in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, 32nd verse. The devotees of Srila Prabhupada quoted this from Srila Prabhupada, who quoted it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's in the Sri Vishnu Sahasranam of the Dana Dharma Parva of the Mahabharata. And this is from that purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this reference as follows. Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi. This is from the Mahabharata. In his early pastimes, he appeared as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body smeared with a pulp of sandalwood seems like molten gold. And then he also, part of that verse, he quotes, Sanyasa Krich Chamana Santo Nista Santi Parayana. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he's equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest devotee of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. So that's interesting. It's in the Mahabharata. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So going to some more verses here. These are verses 24 to 30. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, which is known as Gaudadesh, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu overflooded that country with the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is by nature very much inspired in rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord Krishna. Now being ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed this loving service anywhere and everywhere. I offer my innumerable obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is so kind that he spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to address Nityananda Prabhu as his elder brother, whereas Nityananda Prabhu addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his Lord. Although Nityananda Prabhu is none other than Balaram himself, he nonetheless always thinks of himself as the eternal servant of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu requested everyone to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chant his glories, and utter his name. Nityananda Prabhu claimed that person to be his life and soul who rendered devotional service unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, Srila Nityananda Prabhu introduced the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everyone without discrimination. Even though the people were fallen souls and blasphemers, they were all delivered by this process. Amazing, huh? And these are verses 31 to 33. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent the two brothers, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, to Vraja. By his order, they went to Sri Vrindavan Dham. After going to Vrindavan, the brothers preached devotional service and discovered many places of pilgrimage. they specifically initiated the service of Madan Mohan and Govindaji. Both Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami brought various scriptures to Vrindavan and collected the essence of these by compiling many scriptures on devotional service. In this way, they delivered all rascals and fallen souls. In the purport there, Srila Prabhupada quotes that nice song from the Sri, what is it called? The Sad Goswami Astaka, yeah. Yeah. This is the verse. Nana Shastra Vicharda Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanamita Kadino Tribhuvane Manyo Sadanya Kado Radha Krishna Padada Vinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. So it's nice. Prabhupada says in the purport there that all the Vedic literatures aim at understanding Krishna, and how to understand Krishna through devotional service has been explained by Sri Rupa and Sanatana Goswami with evidences from all Vedic literatures. They have put it so nicely that even a rascal or first-class fool can be delivered by devotional service under the guidance of the Goswamis. And then text 34 to 45. The Goswamis carried out the preaching work of devotional service on the basis of the analytical study of all confidential Vedic literatures. This was in compliance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, one can understand the most confidential devotional service of Vrindavan. So, there's a nice purport there, but I'll just skip it because of the time. And so the next verse. Some of the books compiled by Srila Sanatana Goswami were the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Dasama Tipani, and Dasama Charita. We have already given the names of four books compiled by Sanatana Goswami. Similarly, Srila Rupa Goswami has also compiled many books which no one can even count. I shall therefore enumerate the chief books compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. He has described the pastimes of Vrindavan in 100,000 verses. The books compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami include the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Ujjvala Nilamani, and Lalita Madhava. Srila Rupa Goswami also compiled the Dhanakeli Komudi, Stavavali Lila Chanda, Pajavali Govinda Virudavali, Mathura Matma, and Nataka Varnana. Anybody heard of any of these books or read them? I'm sure a few, maybe, some of you. We have, of course. Who can count the rest of the books headed by the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, written by Srila Rupa Goswami? He has described the pastimes of Vrindavan in all of them. Srila Rupa Goswami's nephew, Srila Jiva Goswami, has compiled so many books on devotional service that there is no counting them. In Sri Bhagavata Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has written conclusively about the ultimate end of devotional service. The most famous and formidable transcendental literature is the book named Gopala Champu. In this book, the eternal pastimes of the Lord are established and the transcendental mallows enjoyed in Vrindavan are completely described. Thus, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and their nephew, Srila Jiva Goswami, as well as practically all the family members, lived in Vrindavan and published important books on devotional service. And we're so fortunate we have the opportunity to read them, all of them. It's amazing. And this is a very nice book. There's a prayer by Rupa Goswami. It's called the Pratama Chaitanyastika. And I'm just going to read two verses from that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced down the main road in great ecstasy before Lord Jagannath, the master of Nilachala, who was sitting on his car. Overwhelmed by the transcendental bliss of dancing and surrounded by the Vaishnavas who sang the holy names, He manifested waves of ecstatic love of God. Will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? That's how he ends each verse. And then this is the last verse. May the great ocean full of waves of pure love for the two white lotus flowers of the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become immediately manifested at every moment to whatever pious person reads these eight auspicious verses, his pure intelligence shining with faith as it meditates on Lord Gauranga. Those prayers are in the latest Back to Godhead magazine. If you want to read that, they're very nice. So here's some verses. So we're going to read verses from 46 to 59. So the first year after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life, all the devotees headed by Sri Advaita Prabhu went to see the Lord at Jagannath Puri. After attending the Rath Yatra ceremony at Jagannath Puri, all the devotees remained there for 4 months, greatly enjoying the company of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by performing kirtan. At the time of departure, the Lord requested all the devotees, please come here every year to see the Rath Yatra festival of Lord Jagannath's journey to the Gaudiya temple. Following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees used to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year. They would see the Gaudiya festival at Jagannath Puri and then return home after 4 months. For 20 consecutive years, this meeting took place, and the situation became so intense that the Lord and the devotees could not be happy without meeting one another. The last 12 years were simply devoted to relishing the pastimes of Krishna and separation within the heart of the Lord. In the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared mad both day and night. Sometimes he laughed and sometimes he cried. Sometimes he danced and sometimes he chanted in great sorrow. All those times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Lord Jagannath. Then his feelings exactly corresponded with those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after a long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance before the car during the festival, he always sang the following two lines. I have gotten that Lord of my life for whom I was burning in the fire of lusty desires. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sing this song, Seta Parananata, especially during the latter part of the day. And he would think, let me take Krishna and go back to Vrindavan. This ecstasy was always filling his heart. In that ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited a verse when dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Almost no one could understand the meaning of the verse. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there. And the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kandamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. That was the verse. This verse appears to be the hankering between some ordinary boy and girl, but it is actually its actual deep meaning was known only to Swarup Damodar. By chance, 1 year, Rupa Goswami was also present there. And so this is verses 60 to 66. So although the meaning of the verse was known only to Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, after hearing it from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately composed another verse that describes the meaning of the original verse. After composing this verse, Rupa Goswami wrote it on a palm leaf and put it on the roof of the thatched house in which he was living. After composing this verse and putting it on the roof of his house, Srila Rupa Goswami went to bathe in the sea. In the meantime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his hut to meet him. To avoid turmoil, three great personalities, Haridas Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Srila Sanatana Goswami, did not enter the temple of Jagannath. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to see the Upala Boga ceremony at the temple of Jagannath. And after seeing this, he used to go visit these three great personalities on his way to his own residence. If one of these three was not present, he would meet the others. That was his regular practice. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the residence of Srila Rupa Goswami, he accidentally saw the palm leaf on the roof, and thus he read the verse composed by him. And so this continues the verses. After reading the verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into an ecstatic mood. While he was in that state, Srila Rupa Goswami came and immediately fell down on the floor like a rod. When Rupa Goswami fell down like a rod, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap. Then taking him on his lap, he began to speak to him. "No one knows the purport of my verse," Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. "How could you understand my intention?" Saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed various benedictions upon Rupa Goswami. And taking the verse, he later showed it to Sarup Goswami. Having shown the verse to Sarup Damodar, with great wonder, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him how Rupa Goswami could understand the intentions of his mind. Sarup Damodar Goswami replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "If Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intentions, he must have your Lordship's special benediction." The Lord said, "I was so pleased with Rupa Goswami that I embraced him and I bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching the bhakti cult. I accept Srila Rupa Goswami as quite fit to understand the confidential mallows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain devotional service to him further." So this is all the nice pastimes. So continuing, verses 76 to 83. So this verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani. "My dear friend, now I've met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am meeting the same Radharani, and now you are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of a sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan." So that's the verse. So next verse. "Now, all devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thinking this way after having seen the Jagannath deity. The subject of his thoughts was Srimati Radharani, who met Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. Although she met Krishna there, she was nonetheless thinking of him in the following way. She thought of him in the calm and quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy. But at Kurukshetra, he was in a royal dress and was accompanied by elephants, horses, and crowds of men. Thus, the atmosphere was not congenial for their meeting. Thus, meeting with Krishna and thinking of the Vrindavan atmosphere, Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. The gopis spoke thus, 'Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that those lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs.' The gopis thought, 'Dear Lord, if your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled.'" In one verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. So this is verses 84 to 87. The gopis continued, "Dear Krishna, the fragrance of the mallows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forest of the glorious land of Vrindavan, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dancing on your lips and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable ecstatic emotions. In this way, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, he saw that the Lord with his sister Subhadra was not holding a flute in his hand. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful, his body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always increasing. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. So this is him dreaming even about the same thing. This painting depicts that. So, continuing the verses. When Sri Nisringananda Brahmacharya heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Vrindavan, he became very pleased and mentally began decorating the way there. First, Nisringananda Brahmacharya contemplated a broad road starting from the city of Kulia. He bedecked the road with jewels, upon which he then laid a bed of stemless flowers. He mentally decorated both sides of the road with bakula flower trees, and at intervals on both sides he placed lakes of a transcendental nature. These lakes had bathing places constructed with jewels, and they were filled with blossoming lotus flowers. There were various birds chirping, and the water was exactly like nectar. The entire road was charged with many cool breezes, which carried the fragrances from various flowers. He carried the construction of this road as far as Kanai Natasala. Talk about meditation. Within the mind of Nisringananda Brahmachari, the road could not be constructed beyond Kanai Natasala. He could not understand why the road's construction could not be completed, and thus he was astonished. With great assurance, he then told the devotees that Lord Chaitanya would not go to Vrindavan at that time. So this is what Prabhupada in the purport talks about, how one time this brahmachari went to a class and he heard that, you know, you could worship Krishna in different forms. You know, you could even worship Krishna within the mind. You know, they thought you could worship Krishna with jewels, you know, in so many different ways. So he thought about that and he goes, yeah, you know, I can't afford so many things to offer Lord Chaitanya. So I'll just sit here and meditate and worship him in that way. So this was nice. So there's a nice purport. So Nisringananda Brahmacharya said, the Lord will go to Kanai Natasala and then will return. All of you will come to know of this later, but I now say with this great assurance. So in his meditation, he could see that Lord Chaitanya wouldn't go further. So it's Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to proceed from Kulia to Vrindavan, thousands of men were with him, and all of them were devotees. Wherever the Lord visited, crowds of innumerable people came to see him. And when they saw him, all their unhappiness and lamentation disappeared. Whenever the Lord touched the ground with his lotus feet, people immediately came and gathered the dirt. Indeed, they gathered so much that many holes were created in the road. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually arrived at a village named Ramakeli. This village is situated on the border of Bengal and is very exquisite. While performing sankirtan in Ramakeli Gram, the Lord danced and sometimes lost consciousness due to love of God. While at Ramakeli Gram, an unlimited number of people came to see his lotus feet. So as I mentioned from those two verses from the Mahabharata, we quoted some verses from them. So in according to the Gaudiya Siddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually took these verses and he, based on Baladev, who actually commented on these verses, he outlined, there's 19, what does he say here, different verses. I mean, there's different qualities or different names of Lord Chaitanya. And so this is, and actually one of the verses is quoted throughout Prabhupada's books. And this is one of the verses. There's two verses, but I'll just read the one that I found the translation for. Suvarna varno hemango varngas chandongadi viraha visama sunyo gritasira chalas chalaha. This is the one he appears. His early pastimes appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful and his body smeared with the pulp of sandalwood seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts sannyas order and he is equipoised and peaceful. And he is the highest abode of peace and devotion. For he silences the impersonalist devotees. This is quoted many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and even other books probably refers to it. So anyway, these are the different was it 19 names of Lord Chaitanya? Yeah, 19 different names of Lord Chaitanya that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Baladev, they came up with these verses. So these are very nice. I like to mention these beautiful names of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya. Trisama. Lord Krishna, in his appearance as Sri Vyasadeva, divided the original Veda into three parts. Samaga. Sri Vyasadeva took pleasure in singing the Vedic hymns. Sama. He taught those hymns to his disciples. Nirvanam. He freed them from ignorance and liberated them from the material bondage. Beshajam. He administered the medicine of pure devotional service to Krishna, which freed the devotees from the disease of material existence. Bishak. He is a great physician. Sannyasakrit. In his appearance as Lord Chaitanya, accepted the renowned sort of life. Sannyasasama. Lord Chaitanya is equipoised. Santa. He is peaceful. Nisha Santi Parayana. He is the abode of the highest peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotee philosophers. So that's the first verse. And then the second verse. Suvarna Varna Hemaga. Lord Chaitanya appears in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna appears. And in his early years, plays the role of a Brahmana householder with a golden complexion. Varanga. His limbs are beautiful. Chandanangadi. His body smeared with sandalwood pulp seems like molten gold. Viraha. So you could chant this when you're feeling, because this is, he kills lust, greed, and other enemies of his devotees. So whenever you're feeling that way, just chant, Viraha! Viraha! Visama. No one is equal to or greater than him who protects the devotees and kills the demons. Sunya. He is free from all material defects, and he made the entire world unsafe for the demons and atheists. Dritasi, he grants all auspiciousness to his devotees. Achala, he was unmoving in his determination to protect the Pandavas from all danger. Chala, he broke his own promise not to take up any weapons at the Kurukshetra War to keep the promise of his devotee, Bhishma. So actually this is all in the new Back to Godhead magazine also, if you want to read about it. It's a very nice article by his name, forget, nice devotee, Prabhupada. I'll think of it. So we're just about ending here. This is, I like to end here with tech. We talked about meditation, this whole class, like meditating on pastimes, Lord Chaitanya. So in the Nectar Devotion, there are some techniques on hearing and remembering. So, but the most, just to summarize, it's the most essential practice for beginning and progressing in Krishna consciousness is hearing, that's Shravana, about Krishna from authorized scriptures and self-realized souls. And hearing these transcendental sound vibrations, it has the power to purify the heart and awaken real spiritual consciousness. So purity is actually possible because we can see it in many devotees. And we can actually acquire it because we have the process just by hearing and engaging in devotional service. So there's some key points. Is hearing is compared to reviving one bitten by the snake of Maya illusion through the transcendental mantras and sounds. So specifically hearing the Ma mantra can bring one back to Krishna consciousness from unconscious state of material life. And then one should equally hear from great acharyas who speak about Krishna's transcendental pastimes and instructions. And this allows one to become free from all material miseries and illusions. And then Shravanam, or oral reception of these transcendental vibrations, is crucial for cleansing the heart to enter into and advance in devotional service. So therefore, this is what we're doing. We gather for lectures, kirtans, programs. We hear from realized devotees, you know, quoting Srila Prabhupada, who is the main realized devotee, and about Krishna's glorious pastimes. And then we regularly listen to, we read the scriptures, and we delineate this transcendental knowledge about Krishna. And then we hear and chant about the holy names of Krishna. And so by diligently giving oral reception to these transcendental sound vibrations, our consciousness will be purified and will be elevated to the platform of loving devotional service to Krishna. So then we get that gift. It's a gift. It's a present we get from Krishna so we can become pure. There's a process to become pure, and then it's a present we get from Krishna on this to become pure. So this is very interesting painting. And this is from Shivaram Swami's book, Napariham, Part 2, The Debt of Love. I can never repay you. So I'm just going to quote a few things here. And this is Radha speaking. Shri Radha was enchanted by her lover's extraordinary form. Although nothing gave her senses greater pleasure than the sight, smell, touch, taste, and sound of his blackish form, this new golden Govinda was astonishingly attractive. After a few moments, Radhika tactfully re-entered the kunj, brushing aside the flowering vines like a daughter of the wind. Krishna, noting her footsteps, slowly opened his lotus eyes. When he beheld Radhika, Govinda was perplexed. His consciousness was so absorbed in her that he was completely convinced that he was Radha. Now, seeing her before him, he didn't know who he was or even whether he truly existed. So pressing his elbow to see his, you know, and his sides like this, his fingers, Krishna reassured himself that he possesses a form and that his form was indeed different from hers. With a startling voice, half question, half statement, he said, "Radha, you are Radha?" So Radhika thought it prudent to remain silent. She simply smiled and tilted her head graciously to one side. Meanwhile, the poignant redrawing of his identity, Sri Krishna's golden color faded and his blackish complexion returned. And along with his hue, Sri Krishna's personality as the spirited cupid of Vrindavan was restored. Seeing him again as the son of Maharaj Nanda, Sri Radhika approached like a mystical doe and sat on his left upon the flower-covered platform. "Sundara," she said in a honey-streamed voice, "what a wonderful form I saw in you just now." Holding his hand, she asked, "how did you assume that golden complexion?" So do you want to know? So it goes on. So this is the past time when Radhika was talking to a bumblebee, right? She was kind of mad. And Mahaprabhu was actually in ecstasy, and he talked crazily like this. So, sorry to go over time, but if you want to stay, this is the real nectar of how what happened. So, anyway, Lord Chaitanya's youth, as I mentioned earlier, he experienced ecstasy, right? But until he met his spiritual master, he wasn't able to give it. And Prabhupada talks about that, how, there's a verse maybe you could read. It's Adi 17:7, and read about that, Prabhupada's purport. It's very nice. It talks about becoming mad. That's one of the symptoms in Ayurveda when your airs are disturbed. So Lord Chaitanya would act like he was, you know, sick. So he'd act mad. So continuing from that, from Shivaram Swami's book. So this is kind of a summary of the conversation. So this is Radha. "My dear Krishna, I was enchanted by your new golden form as Gauranga. How did you assume that wonderful golden complexion?" So Krishna, "Oh Radhi, when I absorbed the mood and complexion of your heart, I became one with you. I felt like a gopi awaiting my own arrival. Then when you entered the kunj, I regained my outer consciousness as Krishna." And then Radha, "This Gauranga form must be very significant. Please explain it to me." So Krishna, smiling at her astute discernment, he replied, "Devi, it is as you say. When I adopt the devotional treasures of your heart and cover my complexion with yours, I am known as Gauranga, this very confidential form known only to highly elevated sages is concealed within the heart of the Vedas." So Radha repeated the name, "Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga," with a cheerful laugh. "What a wonderful name. How sweet it is. How sweet it is, its golden resonance. When I chant Gauranga, I feel as if I'm chanting your name." "Not only my name," said Hari. "When you chant Gauranga, you chant both our names. The syllables Gauranga are non-different from Radha Krishna. As there is no difference between the form of Gauranga and our combined forms, the two names are identical." So Prabhupada explained that the Gaura Gopal mantra is his Amrita Prabhava Bas. This is Gauranga. So this is described there. And anyone who chants this mantra, Gauranga, and one who chants the names Radha Krishna are the same. So then we continue the conversation. So Krishna is saying, yes, this golden form known as Gauranga is deeply confidential. In the age of Kali, I will appear on earth immersed in your heart's emotions to freely distribute the treasure of our loving service and divine love to all. And then Radha says, how wonderful! But how will you acquire the ability to experience the feelings within my heart? Krishna says, your holy name empowers me with that ability, and perhaps I may also enter your heart and relish its contents when you're not watching. And then Radha angrily, how dare you threaten to plunder my heart without permission? I won't allow it. So then a loving quarrel ensued, and about Krishna's right to borrow Radharani's emotions. So her defiant nature incensed Radhika, flared like a forest fire. She replied indignantly, oh, is that so? And how will you steal the contents of my heart without permission? Have you acquired some special city by which you bring others under your control to rob their wealth? Radhika was enraged at the thought that her credulous heart could be plundered at any time by tricky Krishna. He was well versed in thievery. In childhood, he stole yogurt. In youth, he stole the gopi's clothes. Now he threatens to steal her heart. What was he not capable of stealing? But if Radha were deprived of that wealth of her bhava, with what emotions would she love him? Determined not to submit, Radha scorched Sri Krishna with her glance. From his side, Govinda was convinced he had every right to fulfill his duty as the Yuga avatar. Kali Yuga had enough impediments of its own without Radhika contributing her reluctance. In any case, what was there to lament? Throughout the universe, his deity forms accepted offerings of food and then replaced the preparations for their pleasure of his devotees. In the same way, whatever he would take from her heart would remain as before. That was his inconceivable potency. So as fate would have it, both Radha and Krishna were firmly fixed in their opinions on his borrowing her emotions. So this is the quarrel. So this is the hidden symbolism used by Radha and Krishna in their confidential pastimes. So anyway, the Shakis. Now the Shaki, the echo of that quarrel still reverberates in my heart. From it you may understand how Sri Krishna in the form of Gaura repays his debts of love. What do you say, Priya? Of course you are correct, as Shyamasundar Hari is unable to clear his debt and is not always inclined to do so. But as Gaura Sundar, being intensely munificent, he showers everyone with Krishna Prema. So anyway, they continued. The day went on. They spent their days. They finished their meal. And then the gopis were absorbed in Govinda. And then it just goes on. And this is how it ends. Let's see here. This is how it ends. So the gopis, my dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Jumuna beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. So this is Gauranga. This is so magnificent that he's showering everyone with this Krishna Prema that he stole from Radharani just to give us. It's amazing, huh? So that's the end there. So thank you for your kind patience and tolerance. I don't know if you have any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu, please. Devavrata. Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. We read that list of the Goswami's books, and we see that Gopi Puranadanda Prabhu, he worked very hard to produce Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Tattva Sundarbha, Krishna Lila Stava, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. And because you're taking in all the calls at North American BBT, I'm just wondering if the BBT has any plans to continue that legacy of producing the Goswami's books, because there's many Gaudiya Sanghas which are producing them pretty rapidly, and there's even devotees in ISKCON who are producing them quite rapidly.
Wow.
But nothing quite to the standard of what the BBT has done in Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's translation of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So I'm just curious what the BBT's plans are for producing these literatures at the standard of the BBT.
Where's Savas? Where's Archita? That's a great question. Yes, what are they doing? So I know we sell the Brihat Bhagavatamrita still. It's very popular. 3 volumes. And it's a very good price. And yeah, I know many scholarly devotees are working on these things. I think Vidyananda Maharaj is working on Mahabharata, and I think he's doing some things also. But I don't know. That has to be discussed. So why don't you come to our BBT meeting, and we could bring that, and we could go in there and we want these books. Yes, Jai. Well, thank you. Any other comments, questions? Well, thank you again. I appreciate you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.